The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Welcome you back to the program. We'll take a few calls here before our next guest, Earl in Colorado. How are you, Earl?
Oh, I'm fine, Paul. How are you?
Quite well, thank you.
Okay, well, thanks for your show. I wanted to ask, I'm an LSU fan, longtime LSU fan, Colorado Springs. I wanted to know who you think would be best for LSU, if Mel Tucker or James Franklin, and why do you think so?
Yeah, I might lean a little more toward Mel Tucker, and it's a close call. But I just have a hunch that James Franklin is looking toward Southern Cal, so I'm not as focused on him, although I think he's a phenomenal coach, and I think he would do well anywhere. He's already proven that. To me, Tucker has some advantages, having coached at LSU before under Coach Saban, having been at Alabama, having been at Georgia, being in the NFL. I think he really has a lot of the characteristics that are necessary for that job.
Yeah, I'm sort of liking the Paul the Mel Tucker thing. I'm thinking perhaps coming to LSU may be an ideal situation for him to really flex his muscles and show his coaching abilities with all the support he would have from the athletic director and just the fans there.
Yeah, I think the challenge for him, and you remember when he was in Boulder, I mean, he's made a lot of moves, but, that's what happens when you're successful. But, this is not just making a move from Colorado to Michigan State, Earl. This is quite a step up. Thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. Let's get back to our build-up to basketball on the SEC right around the corner. Robin Pinchton joining us from Columbia. Coach, good to see you again. Always great to visit. And how are you? And I know you're excited about the season.
I'm doing great. Great to see you, Paul, and just appreciate all you do for all of us. But really excited as a coach, obviously excited for a couple more weeks of practice. I know our girls are getting antsy to get on the court and play some games, but it's been a great off season for us. And I think we've got a lot of work accomplished and still have work to do, but I'm looking forward to the season.
I know it's an understatement because I had this conversation yesterday with Coach Calipari that, nobody wants to look to last year. Some teams were successful, obviously, but it was a nightmare from just trying to, get chemistry and familiarity. So I would imagine even though your women are antsy, it is an improvement, is it not?
Well, I'll be honest with you, Paul. I think COVID probably favored more veteran teams. It was, and some teams were affected more with contact tracing than others. But I'm really, I feel very thankful for the adversity that we had. I just feel like there was a lot of lessons to be learned, and I think it can propel you to a level that you maybe couldn't have gone to without it. And so I always think there's lessons in the fire, and I think we're stronger and better because of them.
As far as preparation, every coach looks at the preseason, and it's not really the preseason, it's the non-conference games, differently. How do you approach that part of the season to get ready for what we all know is a difficult stretch in the SEC?
Yeah, I tell you what, the SEC, about the time you don't think it can get any stronger, it just every year it seems a little bit tougher. But, I think that's why we love being in it. I love how competitive it is from top to bottom. The non-conference is going to be really important for us. We've got 5 new players. And so just to build that chemistry, which we've been working on since April. And then in June, you bring your new players in and we have 5 new faces. And the off-season work's been great. But I think the non-conference schedule that we have will provide some opportunities to build some momentum, build some chemistry, but also challenge us with some tough games in there to prepare us for SEC play.
You've had such great success, and we just got through watching one of your players in the WNBA finals. I know there are a lot of different ways to approach it, especially having had the success you have had. But when you have a player like Sophie who is in the spotlight, how does that come back to help your program?
Yeah, well, first, so excited for Sophie. The chance to play in the WNBA finals is obviously a great accomplishment for everyone. Great for her, great for our program. great for our university and community. But for us, you know, this season's, this off season's really been about getting back to our core values, to our standards, to accountability, to discipline, to attention to detail. Last year was a tough year with COVID, but when you look at how close we were, you know, losing games by an average of 1 point in SEC play. And so, you know, it just goes back to reiterating the importance of attention to detail, of having great discipline in everything that we do.
You mentioned non-conference. Do you, I mean, what is the right mix for that? I mean, you want really good opponents, but you know you're going to be credited regardless because of the SEC. You got the number one team in the country, so you're going to get quality points. So what is the best way to go about those games?
You know, I think the toughest thing about scheduling is you don't know for sure what that roster is going to look like, you know, just with the transfer portal and new kids in and out and injuries and whatnot. So you really try to plan that a year in advance, and it can be challenging at times. But I think for us, it's always been about having a good blend, a good mix. We definitely want to be challenged. We don't want a false sense of security going into SEC play. But at the same time, you want to have, you know, a chance to build some camaraderie and chemistry on that court and build some confidence. And so, you know, Mike Nabors actually from Arkansas has done a great job in our SEC conference meetings, just, you know, trying to help us understand, used to be the RPI and now it's the NED. And just as a conference as a whole, we want to do our due diligence of putting everybody, it's not just about Mizzou, but it's about the entire league, in a position to have as many teams as we can in the NCAA tournament. And so that non-conference schedule becomes really important. And again, not just about us, but about, more importantly, our league as a whole.
Your first game is on November 11th. How do you, as we close here, how do you keep everybody sane for these next 2 weeks, knowing that it's still not there yet?
Yeah, we've got a couple exhibition games, and so that'll be, you know, a good change up for our players. Like everybody, we've got a scout team. So, you know, it's hard to sometimes get a real good gauge on where you're at. I always, you know, try to have a scout team that's got bigger, faster, stronger than we are. And so it challenges us every day for sure. I'm thankful we've got a couple weeks left, but we've really tried to hone in on our defense ever since April. That was an area that we felt like, you know, we definitely needed to make some improvement on. Offensively, we were pretty efficient. We've got kids that can stretch the court, but defensively, we had to get better. And so that's really been our primary focus. And, yeah, I've seen a lot of growth in that area.
Coach, it's always a pleasure to see you. All the best, and we hope to get together again soon. Good luck.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Paul. Thanks for everything you do for us.
Thank you, Coach. Really great to talk to Coach Robin Pinchton. And we got more tomorrow. We got Will Wade tomorrow morning and a couple of Tennessee stars as we work our way through the day. And as the build-up to basketball has been quite exciting here on the program this week. Let's get back to the calls. And Sonny in Mississippi. Hey, Sonny, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, it's a pleasure to talk to you again.
Thank you very much.
I know you've had a rough week, but that's this Ole Miss Tennessee stuff.
That's okay.
I'm an Ole Miss fan. I watched the whole game Saturday night, and you know, everybody's calling and talking about, oh, Ole Miss players laying down, faking being hurt, and you know, all this kind of stuff. But if anybody watched the ball game, Tennessee had as many players laying out as Ole Miss did. You know, so, I mean, they had a shot of one of the players for Tennessee. His helmet come off, so he had to come out of the game for one play. And he was jogging to the sidelines with his helmet in his hand. And they showed the Tennessee sideline, and the Tennessee coach is over waving his hands to make him fall down. And he fell down just before he got to the sideline. I mean, you know,
well,
I just,
but
I don't
Sonny,
know. This
that is going to happen when you play a 4.5 hour game in heat and humidity. I mean, these are young people. Doesn't matter who they are. It's hard to get up.
I mean, so you know, it just seems like everybody's, you know, saying Ole Miss was falling down on purpose. Like I said, Tennessee has as many players falling out as anybody else.
So who's to say Nick Saban was asked about that the other day, and he said, yeah, everybody knows why they're doing it, and it's self-explanatory. I appreciate you pointing that out. Let's check in with Turkey Man in Tennessee. Hello, Turkey Man.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, I was at the game. I've got a couple questions I want to ask you. I was at the game, and I watched all that unfold. Something strange really happened way before the stuff started falling on the field, flying out on the field. The security, they went coming through the crowd, and they was gathering people up, and they was having people face the crowd way before anything happened. They already knew something was amiss. And so that was weird. I thought it was strange because I wouldn't expect what happened to happen. But what I did see, and I was concerned about, because I really wanted to watch and get a look at it, because when the SEC, you know, always tape the game, and you get a chance to look at it again.
Sure.
Well, I was at the game, so I thought, well, I'm blessed to get to see it. But the trick play that the quarterback was trying to pull was kind of looked like a Statue of Liberty. I was in the north end zone, could see it from the backside. But our defense players didn't fall for it. And they stripped it. And they took it to the house. And referees trailing behind him. There was no, it was loud. No whistle blown that I heard or that you could tell. But when it come, they didn't call it. They followed it all the way through, and they didn't. They waited and they talked, and then we got the ball there because it's on downs, I reckon. But instance like that, and then the safety, I was looking straight down the safety as a north end zone in the corner, and they couldn't make that call, and I.
Yeah, Turkey, they're pushing me to head to the break here. I apologize because we went a little bit over, but I'm glad you called. Thank you very much. We still have more to come on the program. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we welcome all of you back. And Squirrel is up next in Mississippi. Hello, Squirrel.
And speaking of Mississippi, I hear you're going to be hitting the Magnolia State tomorrow.
On my way. I can't wait.
I have a contractor doing some work in my house. You know how contractors are nowadays. He was supposed to be through a day or two ago, and naturally he's not. He's got to come back tomorrow. But I had planned on easing up that way and visited with you. I hadn't seen you in a couple of years. And anytime you come close by like that, might as well take the opportunity if I've got the time. And I encourage anybody who's got time tomorrow and is in the Oxford area to come by the set. And
well, thank you. Sorry to miss you.
Yes. Well, like I said, I'll catch you next time or maybe later on this year. You never know. But you remember the last time you was in Oxford, we were talking. Remember who comes slipping up on our elbow? You remember that?
No.
Joe from Red Bay.
Oh, you're right. No, I remember seeing you in Starkville a couple of years ago, but I forgot about the Oxford.
Yeah, I saw you in Starkville, and I saw you in Knoxville one time, too, for the Alabama game up there. And I was going to catch you down in Baton Rouge, and I got as far as the Indian Mound, you know, right there by the stadium, and I ran into some people I knew tailgating, and I think y'all were off the air by the time we got through with that situation. But, you know, I watched the game Saturday night, the Ole Miss and Tennessee game, and I guess growing up there, nothing Tennessee fans do surprises me. And, you know, I wasn't shocked by what I saw. I thought they went a little over the top, but I think a lot of that has to do with now is because they sell beer there, is my understanding. So
you're right.
That could be why there were so many beer cans. I mean, in the 70s, in the 80s, and in the 90s, I remember seeing things thrown on the fields in Knoxville, in Birmingham, Starkville, Oxford, and probably, if I thought hard, one or two other places. So it's really not that unusual. It's just now that they sell beer, they have so much more projectiles, maybe. So that's something that maybe needs to be addressed in a way that I don't know. I don't know what needs to be done with that. But I'm kind of surprised. I expected like a huge fine, like maybe a $500,000 or $1 million. I'm actually surprised that people are wanting to hunt these people down at their homes and like you say, prosecute them to the full extent of the law. So I have really two questions. What would they be charged with for
well,
throwing a beer?
By the way,
what is the crime and what is the full extent? Is it a fine? Is it jail time?
Here's the problem with what I just got. I mean, I made a nice Law and Order speech. The reality is there's no really full extent of the law because most of what they would be charged with would be misdemeanors.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
So, you know, I really don't understand what all the fury is. I mean, I know it was wrong, but, I mean, it's like people want to cut off their right hands or something.
No,
I mean, we're letting people go that seriously assault people if you look in our court systems. And I mean, I think we need to let these college football fans kind of have a mulligan or something. I don't know. But maybe hit him with $1 million.
Fortunately, nobody was hurt. And if someone had been hurt, then
it'd be a different story.
Yeah, we'd be talking about more serious crimes. Yeah. And I am contradicting what I said a few minutes ago. It felt good to give the Law and Order speech. However, it's not going to work in this case.
And after the game Saturday, this would be this story would be forgotten. You know
Hopefully.
What I mean? You know how we do things. I mean, Afghanistan was a week. The border crisis is a week. I mean, this shouldn't be no more than a week. But, hey, thanks for taking my call. Aloha.
Thank you very much. Good to hear from you. Let's continue. And Mike is in Austin, Texas. Hey, Mike.
How you doing, Paul?
We're well. Thank you for the call.
I was just calling in, Dave. Grew up in Bristol, Tennessee. Big University of Tennessee fan, and don't really want to talk about that. What I want to talk about is LSU, and I know that obviously Ed Orgeron's leaving at the end of the season, but there's a new beat writer for USA Today that's covering LSU, and I know him real well because he's my son, and I think he would be a good person to kind of get hooked up with you and your show and do some things, kind of replaced, I think, Glenn Gilbo in the past. But I just want to mention that.
So tell me, I don't want to out his sources, but what has he been writing about?
Well, he's been writing about the buyout and the fact that you know they came to an agreement on that. Several articles for the Daily Advertiser.
Okay.
Is really who he's working for, but it's part of the USA Today network. But a good kid, kind of following your footsteps, majored in political science at University of Tennessee, got his communications degree from ULM, has been covering ULM for about 8 years now, doing high school preps there in Monroe, Louisiana. So, and then got the LSU beat writer job with a couple weeks ago, and he's real excited about doing it, spending some time in Baton Rouge. And as he told me the other day, it's kind of difficult to to have a lot of inside knowledge when you've only been on this particular job 2 weeks. But I'm sure you'll get there just like you had at ULM and their program.
Well, I am extremely interested in talking to him, especially considering his background. I think I have the right name. So we will. You tell him to expect to hear from us, okay?
Yeah, he's going to be heading to Ole Miss tomorrow for the LSU game. So. You know, I had told him this afternoon maybe I'll stop by and try to introduce himself to you or others that are there.
Yeah, if he is around either tomorrow, if he's around tomorrow or Saturday morning, I'll be there, of course, as well. Please have him come by and say hello to me.
Okay, I'll certainly do that, and I appreciate you taking my call and the time on your show.
It's a pleasure, Mike. Thanks for alerting me, and I look forward to seeing him tomorrow and getting to know him. Always spent some time last week with some young reporters, and it's always one of my favorite parts of the weekends on the campuses. Why don't we take a break here? We have a couple of more guests, and then more of your phone calls the rest of the way as we roll on here on a Thursday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And the build-up to basketball continues. The SEC season around the corner, and it gives us great pleasure not only to welcome one of the best players in the SEC, but two of the best players, Jaden Shackelford from Alabama and Scottie Pippen Jr. from Vanderbilt. Guys, it's great to have you on, and especially to have both of you together. I hope it's okay to mix and match Vanderbilt and Alabama here today. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Let me start with you because the news came out yesterday or the day before that you were the preseason pick for Player of the Year. I know it's a nice honor. It's not what players play for. They want to be the Player of the Year after the at the end of the season, but it still has to feel pretty good to be that thought of by the people around the SEC.
Yeah, definitely. No, I'm thankful, to be preseason Player of the Year. I appreciate everyone who voted me in, but now the ultimate goal is to win this year and eventually get the Player of the Year. So I'm thankful to receive the award, but I know there's more for me to earn.
Jaden, I don't know if they gave you a vote, but would you have voted for Scotty to be the preseason Player of the Year?
Yeah, for sure. He's an outstanding player. Gave us a run for our money last year. But yeah, he's definitely a great player and deserving of it for sure.
Yeah, that was a great game. I do remember that one. Let me ask. Let me stay with you for a second, Jaden, and I'll get to Scotty in a second. Because both of you have taken very interesting paths. You're two of the top players in the SEC, if not the entire country. But Jaden, you were not sure you were coming back at one point. I know Scotty was testing the waters as well. Jaden, how did you make the final determination to come back and play this 21-22 season?
Right. It was just spent a lot of time with my family. That whole summer was good for me. I feel like it was good for me to kind of fill out the process of the NBA and get as much feedback as possible. But at the end of the day, I just felt like coming back to Bama was right for me, and I'm happy with my decision.
Yeah, I know the fans of Alabama are too. We talked to Coach Oates yesterday. He's pretty fired up. Scotty, you tested the waters. You made a decision to come back, and obviously you're expected to have a huge year. How did you reach a final conclusion?
Yeah, you know, I sat down with my family. You know, I sat down with Coach Stackhouse. You know, I kind of went back and forth with the whole concept of, you know, leaving and staying. And ultimately just decided, you know, what's best for me is coming back to Vanderbilt, winning, and, you know, exploring my options after another year.
Scotty, I know you're creating quite your own path, but, you know, when people hear your name, this is probably about the 8 millionth time somebody has said this to you, but, you know, they think of your dad because he's, you know, not just your dad, he's one of the greatest players of all time. I know you lean on Coach Stackhouse, but you also, I understand, you know, you hear from dad quite a bit. What type of advice does he give you on a fairly regular basis?
Yeah, you know, it's great to have, you know, two NBA guys in my ear, you know, pretty much every day. You know, I see one every day, and then I got my dad calling me every day. So my dad, he pretty much gives me advice on everything, you know, life, basketball, you know. But going through that whole process, you know, I knew I could trust him as well as Coach Stack. I knew they both had the, you know, my best interest. So I had two people to rely on.
Jaden, I know Scottie Pippen Senior played before your time, but I'm sure you've seen him on video or on The Last Dance or somewhere. I'm curious if I could get you to give some thoughts on not only Scottie Pippen Jr. but his dad as one of the great players of all time.
Right, yeah, both great players. Obviously, we can see where he gets it from. Seen a lot of him in The Last Dance, so yeah, that was pretty cool.
I'm curious about you as well, Scotty, because that documentary obviously was the talk of ESPN and the basketball world a year ago. I would assume you knew a lot, but what did you learn during that 30 for 30?
I learned pretty much everything that everyone else didn't see. You know, I saw it as kind of a fan as well. I didn't really know most of that stuff, so seeing that kind of stuff was all new to me. You know, my dad, I kind of knew about his career, but I didn't know the details. So, you know, just seeing that stuff, it brought me a lot of new things I didn't see before or know.
Talking to Jaden and Scotty, I joked about with Jaden about your prowess. I'm curious, and I know, you know, you're not together, but you're on the screen together. Scotty, when you see Jaden on the court and when you play against him as you have, how would you describe his game and what do you think of it?
You know, Jaden's from California, so, you know, people from there, you know, we have a different type of swag. You know, we know how to get buckets, so, you know, Jaden, he's a great player, you know. You know, me and him go, you know, back and forth every time we play. You know, he can shoot the ball, he can drive, he can attack. You know, he's just an all-around player, and I think he fits perfectly for Bama's system, you know, just running and gunning and, you know, scoring the ball. And I think, you know, I think we said it before last year, you know, I think we play similar to them, you know, a lot of threes. And, you know, if Jaden can shoot the ball, you know, he has guys around him that can help him shoot the ball, guys get him open, he can get guys open. So I think he can do it all.
And Jaden, I'm curious because a lot of you guys not only, you know, play against each other, but you've known each other for a while. What are the relationships like, Jaden, with Scotty and other of the players, of the top players in the SEC and around college basketball?
Right. I mean, I know we all know of each other. I mean, it's kind of hard not to see each other, like, as much as, like, you know, we get talked about or whatnot. So, I mean, I feel like it's cool to have a relationship with guys like that, you know, around the top of the SEC. So I feel like that's something that, you know, people should work on more.
And Scotty, before we wrap up here, as you look ahead to this season, I know that there were times yet last year where Vanderbilt really did come alive. You mentioned the Alabama game. There were some other big games down the stretch. How are you and your teammates approaching this upcoming season?
You know, we're coming this year with a chip on our shoulder. You know, I think last year we didn't have the record we wanted. You know, we finished one of the bottom teams in the SEC, but we competed with some of the top teams, and, you know, we're still preseason 13th. We're ranked 13th in the preseason, so I think this year we're coming with a chip on our shoulder to now just be known as a better team, one of the top teams in the SEC.
And Jaden, yesterday we had Coach Calipari on, and he was saying, hey, I know a lot of folks got us last year, and you know all about getting Kentucky, but you better think twice about it this year. Seriously, though, the bullseye is somewhat on Alabama's back now, Jaden, because of how well, I mean, a couple other teams played well too, including Arkansas, but what's that feel like being at Alabama and being the hunted now?
Right. I mean, it's just all about us keeping the mindset we had last year and being a hunter. You know we have a bullseye on our back after the year we had last year, but like Scotty said, we're still coming in with a chip on our shoulder this year. You know, we try not to think too much on last year. It's a new year, new challenges. So I feel like me and the guys just really been honing in on being the hunters again, no matter the year we had last year.
Two of the absolute best players in the country, two of the top players in the SEC, Jaden Shackelford and Scottie Pippen Jr. Guys, thanks so much for coming by. All the best this year. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
You got it. What a fun conversation that was. And we will come back with much more right after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.